Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack. Save $200 when you put in code word HOWIE3. Sale is just for this week only and while supplies last. Order at EdenPure.com. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Happy Thursday, everyone. Friday, Junior. We have tons to get to. A lot of great guests today. I'm very excited for today's show. I've been actually keeping this hidden for a few weeks, but Alex Marlowe from Breitbart is joining us in the 1 o'clock hour to talk about his new bombshell book, which, by the way, is number 13 on the New York Times best-selling list. And I'm sure that all the Pulitzer Prize winning journalists at the New York Times were horrified to have to print his name on their prestigious list. So we have that to look forward to, tons of sound. And this coronavirus lab leak theory, I know I've been talking about it a lot this week, but it continues to evolve. You know, we continue to discover more about this. It makes you wonder how much faster we could have learned all this if Trump had been allowed to, you know, talk about this theory without being called a racist, xenophobic monster. But here we are. There's a lot more to the story. The Chinese coronavirus pandemic has now officially become something that the mainstream media is interested in talking about as far as the lab leak theory. Some of the mainstream media. Let's not get crazy. There are some people who are still hanging on to this idea that this is absurd. In particular, I'm thinking about one person. And actually, Jared, you know what it's a good time for right off the top? It's a really good time for the worst take of the day.
At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Now, to go with this idea that talking about a lab leak theory is still somehow racist, it's a bold move this late in the game. I mean, at this point, more and more information is coming out. It's looking more and more clear that there was gain of function research, that there could have easily been a lab leak. And listen, there's nothing racist about saying that. Lab leaks happen often. It's not something that is specific to China. They happen everywhere. But Apoorva Mandavilli, she's a journalist for the New York Times, I believe. Yes, a New York Times COVID scribe is what Newsbuster calls her. She's the leading COVID-19 beat reporter. So keep that in mind. In her own right, she is an expert, you might say. This is what she tweeted yesterday. Someday we will stop talking about the lab leak theory and maybe even admit its racist roots. But alas, that day is not here yet.
Please clap.
So we're still trying to say that investigating the corrupt Chinese government and their involvement in covering up this massive pandemic is a racist theory. It's mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing that these people, not only that they think like this, but that they write it down. That always throws me for a loop. That you write it down, you look at it. And here's the thing about Twitter. You guys know I love Twitter. You have to press send. You have options, you know, discard tweet, cancel tweet, save draft. But these people, they always choose to send it.
And it's such a bad take. She actually deleted it. And people have been putting out the screenshot.
Yeah. Because, you know, screenshots are forever. The internet is forever. You can delete it, but you can't hide. People are going to find that tweet. And it's just embarrassing that these are the people who are the COVID beat reporters.
Aren't you embarrassed?
And a lot of people had great takes on this, including Drew Holden. You guys remember yesterday I read from his entire thread comparing publication's original take on Tom Cotton's theory that there could be a lab leak, where they were calling it fringe, unhinged, conspiracy theories. And now they're saying, ooh, we will give this a second look. And they expect us all to be so grateful that they're, you know, giving this the second glance. When everyone's been screaming for a year, it could be a lab leak. And they're like, shut up. Let us do our jobs. It started in a wet market. And that's the part of it that's interesting. Just to go back here to this woman's tweet one more time. So she tweets that it's racist. And Glenn Greenwald, who I love, he wrote back, can someone explain to me why it's racist to wonder if a virus escaped from a Chinese lab, but it's not racist to insist that it infected humans because of a Chinese wet market? If anything, isn't the latter more racist? Well, I would think so. And the hot takes just keep coming. So Drew Holden, he was the guy who put up the before and afters. You know, that's why yesterday we were playing a little Bob Dylan. Times are changing. Everything's changing now. And Drew Holden said, he's getting ready for what the next stage of the mainstream media is going to be, like how they're going to spin it. Because you really have to try to understand the mainstream media. It's like trying to track down a murderer, Jared. You have to get inside the mind of the killer and try to understand what they're going to do next. You have to get into the mind of a Trump deranged Looney Tune to try to understand how they can spin this. You know, you got to think like Chris Cuomo. You got to breathe like Chris Cuomo. So Drew Holden thinks he knows what the next stage of this is going to be. And here it is. I mean, even if China did recklessly release a plague that killed millions of people and 500,000 Americans and then violated international law to cover it up, does it really matter? And I totally agree with this. I think the next stage is going to be the Hillary Clinton. At this point, what difference does it make? Or the Andrew Cuomo? You died in a hospital, you died in a nursing home. We're talking pretty much about the same thing here. We're going to get to that stage where we're the silly ones for even being curious about this, you know? And a lot of people had interesting takes, but sound is always the best thing. And I want to play some of this. We'll play it throughout the course of the show. Today's show is going to be jam-packed. It's a longer cut, so I'll try to stop it here and there. But someone, I believe it was Grabian, I got to give them credit because I would not want to sit through all of this crap. They put together the media mocking Trump and Senator Tom Cotton for even suggesting that there could have been a lab leak. Let's play cut four.
The best evidence suggests that the kind of bat from which this virus jumped to humans wasn't even present there.
But you know the worst of all, whether it came from the lab or came from the bats or came, it all came from China.
Because we don't know where the novel coronavirus came from yet, the conspiracy theories fill the void.
I'm telling you, the Chi Coms are trying to weaponize this thing.
Here's conservative talk show host Rush Limbaugh with zero proof suggesting a Chinese bioweapon lab is to blame.
It's this question about the Wuhan lab. We know that it's been debunked.
Those same agencies now have been tapped with investigating one of Trump world's most favorite conspiracy theories.
This week, Donald Trump is still pushing the debunked bunkum, despite his own intelligence community's findings that that is simply not true.
And there is simply no reason to believe that that is the case. There is no empirical evidence to verify that.
Coming up with a conspiracy theory to try and foment xenophobia.
All right, I want to stop there. I will continue it a little bit later, but I have to give credit to Rush Limbaugh because that voice, you hear it and you know it's so recognizable. And the thing about Donald Trump is he had a great way of kind of playing, and people would make fun of this if you said he was playing chess and everyone else was playing checkers, but he had this great way of figuring out what the Democrats would do or, you know, how things were going to pan out. And he could kind of see things ahead of time. But no one was better at it than Rush. My dad used to listen to Rush every day. And he would say, I listen to Rush. And he kind of, if I'm nervous about something, he kind of lays it out in a way that I can see where Trump's mind is. And Rush was onto this from the get-go. I don't know if they weaponized it, but it definitely makes more sense that this was a lab leak than it was from a wet market. And I would give Trump and Rush tons of credit. I do. But you also just don't have to be that genius to figure that out. And I want to read you guys something because I'm shocked to say, but this is from New York Magazine. And it's an article that ran in January, but I find it pretty incredible. And Stephen Miller took an excerpt of it and put it out there for everyone to see because it basically proves that there was gain of function research happening. The NIH did know about it. And you know, when I say NIH, you know who I really mean, which is Dr. Fauci. And actually, you know what? I'll save this because it's a really good piece and I want to take my time. 844-500-4242. I'm going to take calls this whole hour. We're gonna play some sound from these media eggheads talking about, you know, ridiculing Trump. Once again, they were incorrect. So that's going to be fun. And but you know what the thing is? And David Marcus made this point today in a piece for Fox. It used to be that if you were so wrong on something in media, like if your take was so bad, it's just like in life. You get kind of thrown off from it. You feel a little bit of shame. You're embarrassed. But they don't have that anymore. They don't even have an iota of embarrassment or shame. And so there needs to be some other way to hold them accountable because clearly the honor system, as Nancy Pelosi once said, is not working. The honor system is shot. These people will continue to lie. And then once they get caught lying, they'll just say, oh, well, you know, what difference does it make at this point? Now we're telling you the truth. And there's got to be something more we can do. And I'm going to talk about that a little later. Hotels, vets, and dentists all have purchased multiple units of the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. Forget the hotels, vets, and dentists. Jared Diglio has a thunderstorm.
Yes, and it is phenomenal for dealing with the seasonal allergies that many people, and people who haven't had seasonal allergies before, have. The pollen is ridiculous this year, but the Eden Pure Thunderstorm is the lifesaver for me because I just plug it in, I turn it on, and immediately the air around me starts getting purified because it ionizes the air and it creates a super oxygen so it gets rid of any pollutants, pollen, allergens, viruses that are in the air, anything nasty. It gets rid of and you are breathing clean air.
And for the first time ever, for our listeners only, you can save $200 on an Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack. That means you'll get 3 units for under $200 and save $200. You can put one in your basement, maybe give one to a friend, put one in your kitchen. The possibilities are endless. The Eden Pure Air Purifier can handle pet, kitchen, or tobacco odors, or that damp smell lingering in your basement. Go to EdenPure.com and put in code word GRACE3 to save $200 for their special 3-pack. That's EdenPure.com, code word GRACE3. Get on this today because it ends at the end of this week, and I've been getting a lot of messages from people asking me about this, so I'm just going to say it one more time. EdenPure.com, put in code word GRACE3. To save $200 for their special 3-pack. We will be back. I will keep the phone lines open for you guys all day long. Are you surprised by this turnaround? And what can we do? How can we hold the press accountable? Besides not watching them anymore, which according to the ratings, I think it was like 65% of people have left CNN, stopped watching CNN. So on that front, we're making progress. We'll be back on the other side. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show.
Was I wearing a tiara when I came in here? Because if you happen upon it, will you have Lady Pennyface retrieve it and send it post-hence?
She's the epitome of class, style, and sophistication. She's Grace Curley.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. I'm excited for today's show. We have great guests, tons of sound to get to, a little journalism in the news. You know what, Jared, I'm noticing? I was thinking yesterday, I'm like, maybe we should do a Fredo Cuomo segment. But then I thought, well, that would be journalism in the news. Because if you ever have a moment of buffoonery, you know, cloaking itself as journalism, it's usually brought to you by Andy Cuomo's little bro. But we will get to that. Today's poll question is brought to you by the 110 Grill. Come celebrate my birthday tomorrow between noon and 6 at the 110 Grill in Plymouth. Guys, I'm very excited about this. You know I love my birthday. I love celebrating with all of you. I would highly encourage you make a reservation, but definitely stop by. I'm going to be there at 12 for my entire show, and then I'll be staying for Howie's show as well. So it's going to be a really fun day. You can get, you know, you can order lunch, dinner, whenever you come. We'll have cake, books, prizes, chance to win a VIP studio, in-studio visit. It's going to be a great time. It always is. And I'm very excited. So that's the 110 Grill in Plymouth from 12 to 6. Jared, what is the poll question? And what are the results thus far?
What's your favorite Biden fun fact of the week? Is it that he has cookies in the morning? That he calls his wife Jilly? That he likes Häagen-Dazs ice cream? That he drinks orange Gatorade? That he lifts weights? That he brings sunscreen to a desert island? Or that he watches Morning Joe?
All right, so I'm going to first walk you through my top two. One of them has to be the orange Gatorade, because that seems to be coming up a lot. And I just find that to be very strange. I do. I can't lie to you. I've never been a huge Gatorade girl. I understand the electrolytes, but I don't know why that keeps getting thrown into all these stories. And number two would have to be Morning Joe, because Morning Joe really is one of the worst programs out there. Last week he was telling people, love it or leave it. If you don't agree with the election, you can leave. And Mika just
desecration.
Mika just sits there and goes, I couldn't have said it better myself. Really, Joe.
Bashing law enforcement officers' brains in with American flags.
Honey, you just she makes all these little sounds of encouragement during his monologues. You know, she just goes like, Ugh, it's just, they're insufferable. But I'm going to go, because I know it's going to end up in a lot of my columns in the future, with Orange Gatorade.
Orange Gatorade polling only at 8%.
Wow!
The fact that he calls his wife Jilly is in the lead at 32%, 20% that he watches Morning Joe in third place, tied at 16%, cookies in the morning, and lifting weights.
Now, I'm going to say something. I don't know how I feel about the Jilly thing, because really he should be calling her Dr. Jilly.
That's right.
This feels a little bit sexist to me. But hey, what do I know? All right. So I promised you guys I would read you this little excerpt here from New York Magazine. Early in the pandemic, Scientific American profiled Shi Zhengli, known in China as the Batwoman. She trapped hundreds of bats in nets at the mouths of caves in southern China. She sampled their saliva and their blood, swabbed their anuses, and gathered up their fecal pellets. I'm sorry if you're eating lunch right now. Several times she visited and sampled bats in a mine in southern China, where in 2012, six men set to work shoveling bat guano were sickened by a severe lung disease, three of them fatally. Xi's team took the samples back to Wuhan and analyzed whatever fragments of bat virus she could find. In some cases, when she found a sequence, now this is the key part, and I tweeted out this excerpt if you want to read it yourself. In some cases, when she found a sequence that seemed particularly significant, she experimented with that in order to understand how it might potentially infect humans. Some of her work was funded by the National Institutes of Health, and some of it by the U.S. Defense Threat Reduction Agency of the Department of Defense via Peter Daszak's EcoHealth Alliance. Now, I would love to ask Dr. Fauci, explain to me how this isn't gain of function, because I'm not a scientist. I'm not a doctor. I have people call in all the time and point that out to me as if I've forgotten. You know, Grace, you don't have any medical experience. Huh, really? Forgot. But this certainly sounds like gain of function, and it certainly sounds like something we should not be funding. All this bat research and messing with the viruses to figure out how it can infect humans, that doesn't sound to me like where I want my tax dollars going. And I think that Dr. Fauci has a lot more to answer for, and I'm hoping that the person asking the questions is going to be another doctor. Dr. Rand Paul. We'll be right back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio,
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. I want to talk a little bit here about Hunter Biden, but first, let's go to the lines. Lou, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Lou.
Happy birthday, Grace. And by the way, it's I thought it would be Dr. Jilly.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
And when he lifts weights, does like AOC come over so he can lift some dumbbells? I mean, I don't know what the...
This is a house of learned doctors.
All right, Lou, go ahead.
Let me get to my point. Like the whole thing, you're always criticizing the press. The press basically uses anything it can as a weapon to try to defeat Trump and disparage Trump voters. So it doesn't care if it lies. It doesn't care what it does. It'll bring it. If you bring up China, they'll bring up race. Anything you bring up, they'll either bring up climate change or race. And, you know, it's Fauci's department was working with Wuhan. So he either knew or should have known about this thing right from the get-go.
Yeah.
And the WHO that they want to go to now has basically worked with China to try to cover this thing up. And China closed off its society to its people within China, but sent people out. They went to Italy. They came to the United States and all these other places.
Hold on, Lou.
Been doing everything.
You're right. You're right about the WHO. They are in the pocket of China, and that is the group that. And keep in mind, Trump wasn't a fan of the WHO, World Health Organization. He wanted to stop funding. And remember when that happened, Lou? Remember the outrage?
Right. So everything they've done is been weaponized to defeat Trump the last year. Now they're just trying to cover it up, cover their behinds. Look, and the other thing is, look how they use Cuomo. Look how they went after HCLQ. Look how they whatever Trump would bring up, they would put down. And the worst thing of it all is that these governors around the country, the blue states, all followed Fauci's advice. And then used it against their own people. They love the police when the police were arresting a mother who's with a toddler in a playground or watching her kid play soccer. But that's the only time they love the police. And these governors have basically used Fauci's advice to go after the people and slow down the economy. The whole thing was a weapon against Trump.
Lou, you are on point. And I'm looking at my post-it notes here, and I'm almost convinced you saw them before because you just read off all my points I had planned. But I want to go back to what you said about this idea that they were against getting to the bottom of this because Trump was for it. And that's something I've written a lot about over the past few years, which is when everything you stand for depends on what someone else supports, you are bound to bend yourself into a pretzel. If everything Trump wants to do, you are automatically against. You are putting yourself in a really tough spot. And Lou is absolutely right. The reason that they have not let this dream die, that looking into the Wuhan lab leak theory is racist, is because it's the same reason that they choose to side with austere religious leaders. It's the same reason, like Lou said, they fawned over Andrew Cuomo and Michael Avenatti and the Lincoln Project and Chrissy Teigen. You know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out maybe these people are a little seedy. Maybe they're not the best people in society. But no, they love them because those people all have something in common. They hated Donald Trump, so they must be revered. They must be wonderful. They must be the best among us if they have such a passionate hatred for Donald Trump. It's the same reason they'll wear masks until they drop dead at the age of 101 just to spite a guy who could care less, who's in Florida golfing on his billionaire property, and they'll wear that mask just to spite him. It's the same reason they don't care that they're paying $5 a tank. They don't think to themselves, oh, shoot, maybe I should have voted for Joe Biden. No, because they're so twisted up with hate. And it's the same reason they'll call Tim Scott racial slurs. Anything Trump supports or stands behind or stands up for is evil. And when you think that everything someone does is evil, you will justify so much of what you do. And so much of what the mainstream media has done is crush small businesses with this pandemic. They've crushed freedom of speech. They've crushed dissenting opinions. But in their minds, it was all worth it. It was 1,000% worth it. And David Marcus is writing about how the social media fact checkers need to be checked. It's the old, you know, who guards the guards type situation. But he wrote something I thought was really, really interesting. He said, "We cannot be slaves to orthodoxy if that means Americans are subject not only to lies, but also the censorship of the truth." And that's the difference. It's not just that they're lying to us anymore. You know, it's not that you have to wade through the BS. It's that they actively are taking you off of social media if you choose to disagree. They'll debunk it. They'll censor it. They'll block it. And it would be one thing if they were censoring and blocking only conspiracy theories and QAnon and craziness, but they're blocking people like Dr. Scott Atlas and Ron DeSantis, normal, rational people who are right. Those are the people that they ban from their platforms. And now they're walking it back. You know, they're saying, oh, you know, we'll repost those things on Facebook or wherever they banned it from, YouTube. We'll let those things stand. But it's a little late for that, isn't it? And that's what I find so transparent about these people, is that they let the clock run out and they think we're so stupid that they don't think we're going to figure it out. Think about Hunter Biden, the laptop. Couldn't touch it, couldn't go near it. Leslie Stahl said, we can't look at that. Can't verify it. And Trump said, why can't you verify it? Because we can't. That's because. And they waited and they waited and they waited. And then they got their guy in there and he's sipping on his orange Gatorade and he's a little cookie monster. And now, boom, just like that, you have Hunter Biden out there doing Stephen Colbert or Jimmy Kimmel, wherever he is, saying, oh yeah, it could have been mine. Isn't that convenient, NPR? You couldn't run with it because it wasn't newsworthy. The vice president's son having some of the most shady business dealings I've ever heard of, but they couldn't run with it because they couldn't verify the laptop until Biden became president. And then the clock ran out. Their guy was over the finish line. And guess what? All right, we'll go near it. And not only will they go near it, they expect you to praise them. Like, oh, you know. Ooh, and they really, it's really insulting when you read the headlines like, oh, how the COVID lab leak theory suddenly became credible. There might be more to this Hunter Biden laptop than we thought. It's like, hey, don't be tossing around the word we. We knew. We saw the pictures of him in a tub with a crack pipe. You didn't want to touch it because you're not journalists. All you do is push propaganda. And this is the latest story. Joe Biden, as vice president, reportedly met his son's business partners from Ukraine, Russia, and Kazakhstan in Washington, D.C. over dinner in 2015. The revelation made by the New York Post Wednesday. Remember the New York Post? Their account was suspended from Twitter because Twitter couldn't verify if it was Russian disinformation. That was Jack Dorsey's line back then. They come up with these like really cute lines. The revelation further fuels suspicions that the elder Biden likely knew of his son's business activities overseas, despite the president's repeated claims of ignorance of his son's dealings abroad with business and government officials. In Joe's defense, he probably has no idea. Like at this point, he probably actually doesn't remember them. So I will give him that. Citing information, I'm skipping around here. This is from Breitbart. Citing information obtained from the infamous laptop from hell, allegedly belonging to Hunter Biden. Again, Leslie Stahl cannot confirm that. And I know that's what we're all waiting for, is the Stahl stamp of approval. The Post reported Wednesday, the dinner on April 16th, 2015 was held in the private garden room at Cafe Milano, a Georgetown institution whose catchphrase is, where the world's most powerful people go. The next day, Hunter received an email from Vadim Pazarsky, an executive of the Ukrainian energy company Burisma, to thank him for introducing him to his father. "Dear Hunter, thank you for inviting me to D.C. and giving an opportunity to meet your father and spend some time together. It's really an honor and pleasure." The guest list prepared by Hunter 3 weeks before the Cafe Milano dinner included Russian billionaire. Do you know any Russian billionaires, Jared? I don't.
I know a couple. I wouldn't say they're business associates or anything. You know, there's people you just meet in certain social circles.
Right, of course.
I mean, you know.
By the way, we should probably hang out soon if those are, if those are the social circles you're running in. Cafe Milano included Russian billionaire Yelena Bartarina and her husband, corrupt former Moscow mayor Yuri Lizkov, who has since died. Bartarina wired $3.5 million on February 2014 to Rosemont Seneca Thornton LLC, a Delaware-based investment firm co-founded by, you're never going to guess, Jared, who co-founded this?
The NIH?
I'm going to give you a hint, okay? And here's the hint. He's a train expert. He's great at creating artwork by blowing ink through metal pipes. And he just came out with the book. And, oh, here's one. He's the smartest person our president knows.
Oh, Hunter Biden.
Hunter
Biden. Smartest guy out there.
So this woman, Bartarina, wired $3.5 million to the investment firm co-founded by Hunter. And I want you to keep this name in mind, because this is kind of, this gets interesting. Because he's very cryptic, Hunter, on the emails. You know, there's a lot of nicknames that get tossed around. Rosemont Seneca Thornton LLC was co-founded by Hunter Biden and Devin Archer, a former advisor to Secretary of State John Kerry. Now, Treasury Department officials highlighted the wire in suspicious activity reports provided to an investigation into Hunter last year. The Post acknowledged that it is unclear who Hunter was referring to when he told Devin Archer, "I think your guy being there is more trouble than it's worth, unless you have some other idea." So now Devin Archer is the former advisor to John Forbes Kerry. When Hunter Biden says, "I think your guy being there is more trouble than it's worth," who could he be talking about?
Your guy. Could that be the big guy or a different guy? How many guys are there?
I think Devin's big guy is John Kerry.
Ah.
And Hunter's big guy is Joe Biden.
We need to make a distinction there. What needs to be big chin guy?
You know what? That actually could work. Before the dinner, Hunter reportedly made it clear to guests that his father would be attending. Hunter appears to use his position on the board of the World Food Program as a cover for the meeting's true goal of introducing his father to his business partners. "Okay, the reason for the dinner is to discuss food security," Hunter wrote. "Dad will be there, but keep that between us for now." Russian millionaire Bartarina, who raised suspicion among Republicans after wiring millions of dollars to the firm co-founded by Hunter, sent her husband to the dinner alone, although both were on the list. Still, the Post suggested, that's it.
Where does Tony Bobulinski go to get his reputation back?
So there's actually a spot. We have to have a designated spot where we can send Trump, Tom Cotton, Tony Bobulinski, Dr. Scott Atlas. Who else? Who else needs to get that? That's a good question for the audience. Who else needs to get their reputations back? Mike Pompeo. There's a lot of people. 844-500-4242. Maybe that will be our next segment. Who deserves to get their reputation back? And who, more importantly, Jared, whose reputation seems to be Teflon? Like Brian Williams and these people. How are we still talking about them? I know I'm new in journalism. I've only been writing for like 4 years, but not even three, maybe two. But I have to imagine that back in the day, there was more accountability than there is now. Like, you might be a little embarrassed if you run with a lie for a year or two. Maybe I'm a dreamer. 844-500-4242. Don't go anywhere. We'll take your calls. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
Coming up with a conspiracy theory to try and foment xenophobia with respect to the Chinese has just as much factual support as taking Clorox.
He can't just sit back and let the doctors and the scientists do their jobs. He's got to chime in.
He may pick up the conspiracy theory that this was some weapon.
People don't keep bats in captivity. It's a complete baloney.
Oh, so Al Sharpton and Joe Scarborough were wrong for the first time ever. I hope their fans are in shock. Jerry Callahan put it in a really succinct way. He said they lied about the biggest story in our lifetimes and covered for a genocidal communist regime for one reason. Trump had to be stopped. Truly diabolical people. Trump had to be stopped, and he was, for now. Or was he? I mean, a lot of people might say that this is going to backfire bigly. I know one guy who might put out a statement about it any second now. John, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, John.
Hi, Grace. We got the lady from Russia giving the Bidens a big amount of cash, and we got the Chinese giving the diamond to Hunter, the huge blood diamond. So I don't suppose that has anything to do with the gas going to Germany from Russia or the shutdown of the investigation of the Wuhan lab by Biden for that Trump was doing. So I don't think those things are related.
Oh, of course not. Of course not. Don't be a conspiracy theorist, my friend. No, I'm glad you brought up China, because there's a really good piece today in Breitbart about how a lot of these miners, the U.S. miners, are fed up and they're reacting to Joe Biden's move to ditch U.S. development of critical minerals. And they're basically saying, which everyone who actually works, everyone who has to actually produce a product, is saying to Joe Biden, all you're doing is hurting us and you're empowering China. And he's like, hey, that's a bunch of malarkey. Come on, man. These cookies are individually wrapped for COVID precautions. Enjoy one, please. So I'll read this to you guys in a little bit. But miners in the United States who hoped President Joe Biden would support domestic production of critical minerals are reacting to his plan to ditch them and rely on other countries, including that same country where a businessman gave Hunter a big fat diamond. We'll be back with Alex Marlowe from Breitbart, New York Times bestselling author. Don't go anywhere. You do not want to miss it.